गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय श्रीनाथी जय श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय गुरुदेव 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 गुरुदेव
और प्रमाणन दिए। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की जय। श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके नैष्टकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो वन Text 1, can, chapter 1, text 1. The chapter entitled Questions by the Sages. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmadasya yato nivyad itaras. I'll say the whole sentence, whole thing together. Janmadasya yato nivyad itaras charteshvabhu vignaswarat. Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye मुयंति यत् सूरय। तेजोवारी मृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा। धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्त कुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जन्मादस्य यतो निवरात इतरस चार्थेष्वभिग्न स्वराट। तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदि कवये मुयन्ति यत् सूरय। तेजोवारी मृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा। धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्त कुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जन्मादस्य यतो निव्याद इतरश्च चार्थेष्वभिग्न स्वराट। तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदि कवये मुयन्ति यत् सूरय। तेजोवारी मृदां यथा विनिमयो यत्र तिसर्गो मृषा। धामना स्वेन सदा निरस्त कुहकम सत्यम परम धीमहि।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
स्वेन सदा निरस्त कुहकम् सत्यं परम धीमहि। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जन्मादस्य यतो जयात् स्तरश्च तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा। ब्रह्मदयादिकावये मुयन्ति सत्सूरयः। तेजो वारि मृदां यथा विनिमयो यत्र ति सर्गो मृषा। नाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकतकम् सत्यं परं धीमहि। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
माताजीस
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we will not read the translation since it was read yesterday, but we'll read the translation and part of the purport. Translation by his, and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna because He is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and He is independent because there is no other cause beyond Him. It is He only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By Him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of Him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon Him, Lord Shri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Him, for He is the Absolute Truth. Purport. Obeisances unto the Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, directly indicate Lord Shri Krishna, who is the Divine Son of Vasudev and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work. Shri Vyasadeva asserts herein that Shri Krishna is the original Personality of Godhead, and all others are His direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portion. Srila Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha, and Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Shri Krishna substantially in his treatise named Brahma Samhita. In the Samaveda Upanishad, it is also stated that Lord Shri Krishna is the Divine Son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Shri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the Absolute Personality of Godhead, it must be the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means the all-attractive. In Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts Himself to be the original Personality of Godhead, and this is confirmed by Arjuna and also by great sages like Narada, Vyas, and many others. In the Padma Puran, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the Personality of Godhead, and all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are indicated in this text. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the Divine Son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Shri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramhansas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. Vasudeva or Lord Shri Krishna is the cause of all causes. Everything that exists emanates from the Lord. How this is so is explained in later chapters of this work. This work is described by Mahaprabhu Shri Chaitanya as a spotless Purana because it contains the transcendental narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. The history of the Srimad Bhagavatam is also very glorious. It was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva after he had attained maturity in transcendental knowledge. He wrote this under the instructions of Sri Naradji, his spiritual master. Vyasadeva compiled all Vedic literatures containing the four divisions of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutras or the Brahma Sutras, the Puranas, the Mahabharata and so on. But nevertheless, he was not satisfied. His dissatisfaction was observed by his spiritual master, and thus Narad advised him to write on the transcendental activities of Lord Shri Krishna. These transcendental activities are described specifically in the 10th canto of this work. But in order to reach to the very substance, one must proceed gradually by developing knowledge of the categories. It is natural that a philosophical mind wants to know about the origin of the creation. At night he sees the stars in the sky, and he naturally speculates about the inhabitants. Such inquiries are natural for man. Because man has a developed consciousness which is higher than that of the animals. The author of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a direct answer to such inquiries. He says that the Lord Shri Krishna is the origin of all creations. He is not only the creator of the universe, but the destroyer as well. The manifested cosmic nature is created at a certain period by the will of the Lord. It is maintained for some time and then it is annihilated by His will. Therefore, the supreme will is behind all cosmic activities. Of course, there are atheists of various categories who do not believe in a creator, but that is due to a poor fund of knowledge. The modern scientists, for example, has created space satellites, and by some arrangement or the other, these satellites are thrown into outer space to fly for some time at the control of the scientist who is far away. Similarly, all the universes with innumerable stars and planets are controlled by the intelligence of the personality of Godhead. In Vedic literatures, it is said that the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is the chief amongst all living personalities. All living beings, beginning from the first created being, Brahma, down to the smallest ant, are individual living beings. And above Brahma, there are even other living beings with individual capacities, and the personality of Godhead is also a similar living being. And he is an individual as are the other living beings. But the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Living Being has the greatest intelligence and he possesses supermost inconceivable energies of all different varieties. If a man's brain can produce a space satellite, one can very easily imagine how brains higher than man can produce similarly wonderful things which are far superior. The reasonable person will easily accept this argument, but there are stubborn atheists who would never agree. Srila Vyasadeva, however, at once accepts the Supreme Intelligence as the Parameshwar. He offers his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Intelligence, addressed as the Para or the Parameshwar or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Parameshwar is Sri Krishna, as admitted in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures delivered by Sri Vyasadeva, and specifically in this Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that there is no other Paratattva, Sumam Bonam, than Himself. Therefore, Sri Vyasadeva at once worships the Paratattva, Sri Krishna, whose transcendental activities are described in the 10th canto. So the remaining purport will be then covered in the next couple of days. Om Ajnantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Shasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshitali. Just when I was sat down and I saw the verse, though I was preparing for it for some days, it just struck me that it's really, at least for me, it's really like a new beginning now, you know, that all nonsense stops and we get another chance to start our life. So we are in the, you can say, now they call the lower KG or maybe the, you know, the beginning of our spiritual life. So we get a new beginning in one way. So, it's quite awesome to, you know, understand that it took almost 26 years of completion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which really indicates, you know, what is the vision of Srila Prabhupada. On one hand, that he insisted and instructed 50 years ago that every temple should, every single day, go through each verse. And on the other hand, it is also an indication of the potency of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that everything as this is contained in the Bhagavatam itself. So the purport also, the verse itself, Krishna is glorified, and means the essence of Bhagavatam also in one sense is contained in the first verse, because Lord Sri Vyasadeva straight away comes to the key aspect that accepting Krishna and who his position is paramount. And that's the directly or indirectly the theme of the entire Bhagavatam. And later on, through the incarnations and how we develop love for Godhead as the goal comes through. But this this explicitly mentions how it is critical for understanding. And there are two classes. So, if we are in those who accept the supremacy of the Lord, we will have the gradually the truth revealed to us. And the importance of this verse is such that Srila Prabhupada spoke this various times. It's not often that he has spoken one verse many times, but he has spoken this in practically most continents of the world. He has spoken this in Venezuela, he spoke this in London, he spoke this in New York, etc. So we can imagine, and it is not only in the 1966, even in 1970, 71. So that just reflects the criticality of Bhagavatam, but also how the starting itself is so important. And Srila Vyasadev talks about Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya to start with. Means we pay our obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is really our constitutional position. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that when he used to go to in the West, especially, you know, in his morning walks, he would say that we are saying paying obeisance is here, and obeying is a natural phenomenon for us. But on the other hand, people don't accept God. People will say that God is dead, or God is not there, or I am God, whatever. But it is everyone pays obeisances. When you are paying obeisances to the Prabhupada used about paying obeisance to the policeman when you go on the street. So we may not literally fall on the road, but you have to just consider him. You know, you just can't stop on a simple thing like this, the instructions given. So there are various things where we anyway have in material nature this kind of where we anyway have to obey, or we have to fall in line. You know, he was also, when he used to go on morning walks, he would see so many statues. We have some in Mumbai also, but there it is very famous. You have parks and then you have statues of famous personalities. And he would often wonder that people, they are coming and paying their respects, paying their obeisances. They go to museums, they stand in queues. But when you would ask them to come to the temple, then they will say, no, I don't have time. Or they say, these are all idols, why should I come there? So he used to wonder that how is it difficult, how the consciousness can completely change that a simple thing like accepting the truth, the absolute truth, and which is what Vyasadeva is emphasizing, that there's a relative truth and the absolute truth. The absolute truth is this Param Satyam, which is the Krishna, and everything else is relative to him. It's so difficult to accept if he... If we put our own egos in the way. And in the verse itself, there is a reference to Teja. We didn't read the transliteration, but Teja means fire, and Vari means water, Mrit means earth. So, when you take earth and you mix with water and then you put it in fire, and then that's how they make bricks and mortar, and through that then you build buildings, skyscrapers, and that we are so proud of. We accept that we'll bang the coconut on the stone before we do the murat, etc. So we have deep respect for one aspect of the material energy, which is all earth, water, fire, air, ether. But we do not see the background of who is really behind the creation of all this. So, because of our disbelief, which comes from complete lack of ignorance and our position of being so tiny, that we cannot comprehend what we don't know. Just like Krishna is in the transcendental abode, it is difficult for people to believe that how can he be in various abodes, how can he be in various planets. The reference in the the creation, it's very nicely explained that there are, we just get not even a glimpse. It's difficult to imagine because we have not experienced it. But the expansion itself from Krishna, the first expansion is Balram. And then from Balram, you have the Chaturvyuh, the quadruple expansion, so Shankarshan, Vasudev, and Anirudh, Pradyumna. Then from Shankarshan, there is expansion, there's Narayan, and then the innumerable expansions. Then the second status of the of Shankarshna, there's Vasudev, again there's expansion, Narayan. So there are innumerable planets, innumerable universes, innumerable planets. Innumerable means millions, countless. It can be millions, billions, it's just beyond our calculation. And we cannot even estimate that there is, what is the size of a planet. We cannot even estimate the size of a city sitting in one place. So because we cannot see it, we just find it impossible to believe it. But then that is, therefore, it's a matter of how we look at the authority. See, we are, in our life, we are used to, we will look at evidence, either we will want direct evidence, which is very, very limited because our senses are limited, they're imperfect. So if we say, I don't see it, so I don't believe it. But then that's ridiculous because simple arguments that, simple logic that we cannot see beyond a certain distance, we cannot hear what is in the next room, we cannot even see behind our back, behind our head. So we can see how pitifully short we are in our senses. But still some people will say, Prabhupada would say, when this argument is given, he asked one person that, have you been to Nairobi? He was in Los Angeles or somewhere in the Americas. The person said, no. He said, how do you know Nairobi exists? He goes, no, because I've heard about it, read about it, it's in my geography book. And this thing, but then you are going by evidence. But that means, so why don't you take authority? So that is one type, that we go by direct evidence. The other evidence is Anuman. Anuman means hypothesis. Okay, it could be this, could be that, speculative basically. Which is also has limitations. And the third, which is recommended and followed, is the Shabda Praman, which is authority and the word of God. And that is based on logic, based as starting from the first verse itself, establishing what is Krishna's position and how he is the controller, and therefore how we can come closer to him. So then also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. And beyond me there is no other superior power. So repeatedly through the Bhagavatam, first verse onwards also, in the Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly, several verses, Krishna very clearly establishes very factually what the situation is. So, and even his names are so revealing. I mean, we say Krishna, as was mentioned in the purport also, Krishna's name is all attractive. So, actually, we can, the name of God is always descriptive. It has to be describing his pastimes, his glories. So, we talk of all attractive, he is attractive to everyone. So we can see the distinction between a Supreme Personality of Godhead or a Supreme Being versus a living being. So Krishna is also a living being, but he's a Supreme Living Being. So that is to be really got in our DNA. That has to be really understood that what is his position. And then that should permeate all our aspects of whether it is politics, whether it is our lessons on leadership. Everything comes in Bhagavatam. Whether it is geography, whether it is our understanding of science, everything is contained here, provided we understand and accept Krishna's position as the Supreme. So the authority of Krishna is with logic is very important, and his names reveal, like Ananta, for instance, is which has no end. So everything comes to an end. There is nothing that we don't know which doesn't come to an end. Even it's not just a matter of we know that our bodies will also die. That's one. But even other things. For instance, in the book Marathon, we have a go down, and we have say X number of books. So it's over time it'll deplete and then it'll exhaust. Then we replenish it; it gets exhausted. So nothing can remain as it is. But Krishna is not like that. He is completely transcendental to this. So. There are so many ways that through his name, through his word, he has given a lot of evidences which are clues to us to accept it. So therefore, many incarnations can come from him, just like rivers in a way, rivers on the waves of the river. But he doesn't get exhausted like any inventory will get exhausted. So So we talked about expansions. Yeah, then also our body goes through six transformations. You know, we are there is birth, then there is some, then we stay for some time, then there's some growth, then we produce offspring, then we start dwindling, and then we are finished. But Krishna's body is not like that. Krishna is Sachidanand Vigraha. So every aspect that we know of, that we understand of our own sense, and we see that the difference between us and a Supreme Personality clearly indicates, and it is the root of our understanding of spiritual life. So if somebody says that I am religious, that I am, no matter what the faith is, whether we may call it, you know, Hindu, Jain, Muslim, Christianity, is these are faiths. But essentially, as a living being, someone says, I'm religious and I'm spiritual. The acceptance of the supremacy of God, and then the how much knowledge we acquire is follows from that. But this it has to be permeating all our behavior and all our activities. And actually, in the second verse here, where it show, you know, where Bhagavatam says that dharma prajita kaitava tra, so Srila Prabhupada then very strongly emphasizes this point, which will come in a few days, that there are cheating religions where it does not accept or does not explain the powers and the existence and the presence of the Lord. So God's presence has to be there. You know, you cannot have an indirect sense of spirituality which doesn't have the presence of God. So that's why Prabhupada was always right from the beginning. I remember when we, when I was getting, you know, exposed to ISKCON or hearing lectures, and I was a bit uncomfortable to, when we hear that, you know, many times Prabhupada in his purport would get very angry and he'd blast the scientists. So, and then when it took me some time when I read his books, and then Life Comes from Life and others, you know, those smaller books. So it becomes clearer as we see, it's logical now, especially after reading this kind of, the purport and the criticality of establishing the supremacy of the Lord in the first instance, to see that we, then everything else follows from that. Because without that, if you don't have the one, everything else is zero. Then we can slowly understand that why he was so important, why he felt it was so important, because they were the influence makers. Scientists are influence makers. Not that all scientists are in that category, but essentially, many scientists believe that life comes from chemicals. And that's why Prabhupada would immediately bring this issue up, that said he gave a challenge that why don't you produce life? I'll give you chemicals. And you now you produce and show me. So, because he could sense that if this is, the human being is so much enamored by the technological progress and thinks that that becomes a new God, then we do not understand that that is so tiny and infinite in the infinitesimal in front of the infinite. So he had to establish that, and he was always for encouraging inquisitive minds. Prabhupada was very strongly, it's not that he was very much ahead of his times in many ways, but he would encourage it, but he would always say that you need guidance. And he would quote that there is guidance needed in every sphere. If you go to university, even a research scholar also has three professors to guide him. So if he's guided, then everywhere. Why is it that here, on such a crucial, important point, everyone just has his own kind of thesis and own conclusions? That's why in Bhagavad Gita, at the end, he says, Sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam sharan vaja, that just surrender unto me, because from the beginning to the end, that is the one constant message. And if you are fortunate to get this opportunity to come in contact, then this principle is something which would be that, the supreme absolute truth is Krishna, and all others are relative truth, is really what would be our, you can say, the auspicious beginning. And we may say that I don't believe in it, so that's fine. We have our own independence, but then we'll take our own time. It can take many lifetimes. It could take whatever time it takes. Gradually, we're going to come to that stage anyway. And also, the Srimad Bhagavatam's potency is in establishing Krishna's position, but also we can see it from so many ways, that is how relevant it is at all yugas, all millenniums, for all the ages. So it is as relevant now as it was relevant in Satya Yuga or any other yuga. It's eternal because it's Krishna and Krishna's work. So, and Krishna's description. So I was just saying that if you take examples and parameters by which people recognize who is great and who is small in today's world, and you can see, compare it with what the Bhagavatam is saying that. Now, we have our own, today we say that, at different times in the yugas, at different times in the previous generations, in the varnas, it was considered that, somebody is born in the Brahmin family is considered much higher than others, varnas, like Vaishya or Shudra or Kshatriya also. So the Bhagavatam acknowledges that, but it doesn't, it actually transcends that, because right in the beginning, because Suta Goswami, who actually is appointed by the Naimisharanya, by all the various, the greatest of the greatest assembly of sages, is actually coming from across, what they call, I forget the actual word, but basically he was not of the highest Brahmin quality, birth. He was, in quality was the highest, but in terms of birth. So they accepted because he had devotion in him. So the Bhagavatam standard, eternal standard, is what is our level of devotional service or devotion to God and our bhakti, which is, which goes across everything else. So whether it is varna, whether it is birth, so they may say, yes, that's a social convention that was there at some point. And in ages, at different times there are different conventions. They may be there. The Bhagavatam acknowledges, but it doesn't, but what it establishes is that bhakti is the supreme. Similarly, if you take even in race, like the devatas as a race, the demigods are considered to be higher than the asuras, the demons. Now we know so many examples of that. But again, even in this, even in that established norm that yes, by and large, devatas are generally considered higher, but there are asuras. Like Prahlad Maharaj was born in an asura family. So from the beginning he had very devotional qualities. So he has been glorified right through. So it is not matter of which race you are in, it's a matter of how much devotion you have. But leave aside Prahlad Maharaj, someone like Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was actually, who was a Mahajan, but he was actually a king, and he, at one time he ruled the entire universe, the whole planet. And he was so powerful that he had defeated Indra, and he was actually attacking the devatas. So even such a person, and in fact, for a large part of his, in the Bhagavatam also, for many, for a long part, we see him as a typical, a king who's doing his duty, is establishing his rule, and he sees that his enemy is the demigods, and he goes out to defeat them, defeats them also. It is only when, at later stage, then suddenly we start seeing the other side of him, the real side of him, when Indra actually is, when he's fighting him, and Indra's, when they have a discussion on the battlefield. And then he tells Indra that it is the will of the Supreme which will prevail. And today you may win, tomorrow you may lose. So first time we see the philosophy. And then after that he actually, he gets killed. He gets killed, but then Shukracharya's guru revives him. And in spite of his revival, so we can understand if such a powerful guru is there, then he would be beholden to him because he gave him his life. But then when Lord Vamandev comes, and then in that story, when we see his transformation, not transformation, he always was, but you can say his real bhakti or devotion comes up to the surface. So that's when he actually rejects Shukracharya, because Shukracharya could also understand that Vamandeva was Vishnu. And he rejects him, and he says, he had to make a split-second instantaneous decision. And he immediately, happily said that whatever happens, you know, I am surrendered to Krishna. So then we can see that suddenly the world is, to the world he is revealed as a bhakta. So again, his glories are sung no matter what his background, what race he is in. Same with Vritrasura, you know, who comes and he again fighting with Indra, and at the later stage only when his prayers, suddenly when he starts speaking wonderful prayers, then we see his glories. So there are instances where, so Bhagavatam is clearly establishing that bhakti is supreme. Doesn't matter whether you are born in this or that. It doesn't matter what beginning you have. Same way even in, and what it also indicates that bhakti is not necessarily manifest right from the beginning. It may come at its own time. So sometimes we feel that, therefore, when we look at, we hear about someone whose background maybe, you know, we don't have asuras now. But I mean, say somebody was born asura, then one, if we were in that, at that time there, then our mind would say that he's born asura means he's an asura for life. No, not like that. Somebody's bhakti can come up at any time. So similarly, in our situations, we may have very different backgrounds, different capacities, different intellect, different abilities. There are pluses, minuses, whatever situation is, whatever status of life, economic status, etc., it doesn't count. This is what it established, that it may manifest any time. And that establishes, and that manifestation comes really at a time when we have made the effort, that minute independence to take the advantage or to use our intelligence in the right way. But once we do that, then the past is past. It has no relevance at all. But sometimes we feel that, you know, like in Indra's case, you know, Indra, he's honored like anything. He's the king of the devatas, or he's the leader of the devatas. He's also, you know, Arjun's father. Arjun also greatly honored him. He had a chance to sit on his throne. So he had such a position. But when it came to on the battlefield with Vritrasura, I mean, he was considered inferior. Vritrasura was considered on a higher level. So it has no relevance. So it really doesn't matter. It's not like we think that if he's a devotee, then he's born in the means it must, the fall must, the seed must come instantaneously. No, it's not like the child in the womb is kind of coming out with tilak and bead bag and with mahamantra on his lips. It's not like that. No, he may not be a devotee to, no, it may take many lifetimes. So when it comes, it is it can be several years before it could come. It can be several lifetimes also. But if we have been given that opportunity, we are very fortunate. Same with even gender. I mean, we see that there was again social convention at that time, it was a fact that they used to consider women as a lower species and at some different times of life. But Bhagavatam establishes very clearly through so many examples like Nagapatnis and Kalia. Now, Kalia was such a powerful demoniac personality, and because of the prayers of his wife, who was so devotional, that his life changed also, and he was forgiven, and he was very grateful, and he was humbled. Same with the Yajnapatnis, the Brahmins' wives. Now, here it is very interesting to know that the Brahmins were not demons. See, we said about Vritrasura, etc., that they were born in a certain life. But here, Brahmins were very pious. They were very virtuous also. And they were doing their own fire sacrifices. The only thing is that they were so consumed in the fire sacrifice that they missed the wood for the trees. You know, they were just in there concentrating only on their and they didn't really understand the essence of what they're doing. So when Krishna and Balaram sent the cowherd boys getting some food when they wanted, they immediately just kind of almost contemptuously rejected them. And the Yajnapatni, the Brahmin's patnis, you know, they were instantly, you know, without any pause, immediately came to them. So we could see that they can see that they, you know, here they had so much more devotion, and therefore, in fact, real intelligence comes from that. Of course, the Brahmins then were very humbled, and then when the wives returned back, because in the meantime, what happened is that the Brahmins were the fruits. They did get the fruits of the demigods did come, and then they said that, you know, you. But the Yageshwar Ayatha, and you didn't even acknowledge, you know. So then they were like completely shocked, you know, very sorry. And then the wives came back, and they were, you know, very apologetic, and you know, at least they acknowledged that you are far superior, and we missed the boat. So so starting point doesn't matter. The thing is that you can say it's a very optimistic life we have actually. It's a very optimistic, the spirituality is very optimistic. I mean, see, it says that whatever little we have done, we are going to carry it in the next life. You know, 1%, 2%, whatever little we have done, so there's no loss. I mean, this is incredible, you know, concessions you can say that we have. And on top of it, it is said that doesn't matter where you come from. You just, thousands of books are given every year, millions of books are given, kathas, satsangs, holy name is reverberating. I mean, in one sense, Prabhupada is, how much can one man really? I mean, how much one man has done for, if you see, in the against the entire flow of humanity the way it is going now, to try to spread. Because all of this has weight. Only thing, those seeds may take its own time to fructify. So, because on the same principle that everything is, past is past, Krishna just cancels it out the minute we turn to it. Because we'll have to pay for it, in a sense, we will have to suffer whatever sins we have performed. But, that's something which we will, with our spiritual progress, we will also be able to accept and digest it. I mean, I hope, but we will certainly be able to accept it, and we would have come to a stage where we would, you know, consider Krishna's, the goal would not be deviated from where we are. Then we also look at ashrams also. Sannyasis are considered higher than grihasthas, generally, because of the renounced order and so on. But Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj's example is there, and there are others that were, in spite of being very learned, but, Ambarish Maharaj showed his, glorious devotional qualities in the most trying circumstances, you know, in the most provocative situations, extreme situations, and he didn't deviate the slightest from his humility and from his acceptance of his of faith in the Lord. So while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did take sannyas to establish and acknowledge that sannyas as an order, you know, it has its own importance, and but he was not beholden to it, because he encouraged everyone and he spread the word on that basis. And then also wealth and social position is another parameter which we consider to be very high. And normally kings are considered to be glorious, you know, on such a high level. They are because of the position they are in. But in fifth canto, we have the story of Maharaj Rahuguna and Jad Bharat. And Jad Bharat, by all standards, you know, was a non-entity practically. And he wanted to be that, because he was he had gone through such a, you know, two lives before. And he was very clear that this is the final one. So he actually wanted to, you know, be completely focused only on, he was not speaking anything. So basically externally it looked as if he was virtually nobody. And Maharaj Raghuguna was a great king. And he did get carried away, especially when the confrontation takes place with Jad Bharat. But from a material point of view, it was very clear that Maharaj Raghuguna was the superior and much higher. But from the scriptural point of view, and even from Maharaj Raghuguna's point of view later on, he accepts the instructor is actually Jad Bharat, and he is his disciple. So whatever the parameters are, we would be, the greatness is considered by the devotional qualities that we develop and the path of devotion that we follow right through. Because the, and that's what is established entirely from by Srimad Bhagavatam right through. And also, you know, today people don't accept easily. They will consider, you know, see, they will take some virtues. A lot of people take some values. Yes, honesty is good. They will, many qualities are taken which is not in connection with Krishna. And then that's what they call a moral code. They'll have their own moral code. So you have one category where, you know, today's, you see lots of people today that they're entirely focused entirely on, you know, because a human being's intelligence, so he or she is going to increase its living standards by adopting technology and, you know, how he can manipulate material energy to his benefit. So that will be his pursuit. And it is encouraged also today, you know, okay, just do it, just go and get it. You know, it's I, me and mine, whatever's, you know, I want what I want when I want. You know, it, this is the way, and it is considered normal. But on the other hand, maybe there are some then who will come and say, wait, you know, there are some rules that we need to make. You know, we need to understand, we need to have, to improve our sense gratification. That means we need to have, just like we have rules on the road, there are basic rules, you know. So you have to have certain honesty, certain this, certain that. So, still, there's no place for God. It is our own rules, and it is like our collective decision to see that how we can benefit. You know, how the benefits that are there, say, in this room, and then 10 people come and say, now, how we should have clear rules. You can't just grab it. You can't just take it. No, I think we are 10 of us, so you should take this. These are the basic rules, and we have, you take this. But ultimately, the objective is that we'll take what is it is. So there is no place for God. That's when Prabhupada kept saying that the envy of enviousness of God is at the root of a problem. But we may say, where's the envy? I'm not envious of God. But then we don't even acknowledge Him. That's where the envious is, because that comes through our behavior. So there, this is what is called honesty among thieves. That there are thieves and they also have code of honor. Honor among thieves, sorry. I wouldn't say honesty, but honor among thieves, that we should have honor, that how we should do it, you know, how we should divide it. And I will not go beyond what my quota is. You know, I get 19%, I will take only 19%. But then the, ultimately, so, and you, we may think this as a crude example, but actually in reality, the way the whole world is planned, the economic situations, all that, the institutions that are put, that is coming under certain codes. But the codes are to benefit people, the way those people who have put it there, they look at it. I mean, the way they see the benefit, they will apply it. And these moral codes change. Even on personal behaviors, the moral codes change. So you can't take it as truth. For instance, 20 years ago, what was considered immoral, today is considered moral. And that we don't need to give examples. We see it everywhere. And you see, it is, we get shocked today. But we were shocked 20 years ago because 40 years ago, it was considered, you know, moral. And 20 years ago, it was immoral. And those people that time say, it's too much. My father's generation, and then they saw my generation, they were aghast. Everyone, but that time they sincerely felt that, no, this is allowed, and this is the, they genuinely feel that this is the today's morality. So what is morality, immorality? If you do not put it in conjunction with Krishna's laws, then it has absolutely no basis, and it is just a matter of internal adjustments that we do. Like, a very powerful personality who was ruling the country for some time in India many years ago, and he said, because he didn't believe in God, so he said the factories are the modern temples of India. The factories are the modern temples of India. So he used the word temples in conjunction with saying that you should work hard, work is worship, and that's what is going to solve the problem. Quietly moving the actual God and then putting temple is the, so the factory become temple because you create output and then you, that's the kind of symbol of material progress. There's a, Radha Gopinath Prabhu had given a super, I'll just quickly wind up, but a very nice example. When he said when he was young, he had seen a cartoon where there were two boys who were trying to shoot in the what do you call it, the bullseye. You know what a bullseye is? That for those who are trying to shoot, improve their shooting, they have a target. And the bullseye means that's a board, and then they have seven circles, generally seven. There's a very big circle, and they're concentric circles. One big, then smaller, 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 and then the smallest one is just a dot in the middle, and you're supposed to be shooting that, and you're probably 100 meters away. So you keep on practicing and seeing that when your circles, you know, first you may be hitting outside the board, then you may hit on the board in the corner, then come to the seventh circle, then sixth, and slowly come towards the, improve your aim and come to the center. So in that cartoon, it showed that the first one boy is trying to shoot, and you know, he's shooting on the sixth circle, fifth circle, fourth circle, seventh circle. He's trying his best, but he's moving. And the other boy, amazingly, every single shot, every single arrow he shoots is going straight on the bullseye. Every single one, right in the bullseye. And then they showed in the next one how he was doing it. Because first he was shooting, and then wherever the arrow struck the wall, then he went and made a circle. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu was giving a very nice example. I mean, he was illustrating that we make the rules. So whatever we want to do, our activity, then that becomes our, that becomes the philosophy, that becomes the perfection, that becomes the center of what we want to do. So it is really, we create it because that is the way. So in this generation, it may be for a generation, maybe for 100 years, but it is a limited period. So what, and then that we take this as the gospel because it suits us. So there can be millions of different justifications because different people have different ideas of what they do, and different countries will do it, different cultures will do it in their own ways. Therefore the basis and eternal link to what we need to do is the laws of God. But Prabhupada said, how do you know the laws of God if you don't know who is God or what is God? If you don't know that, where's the question of knowing the laws? So that is why we need to know first about Krishna. That is why Bhagavatam, that is why the, and we can see the emphasis from the very first verse. Yeah, so therefore Bhagavatam is considered the crest jewel of all the scriptures. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he came as a, you know, as a person, Bhagavat, he established by his, as a devotee also, how through the Bhagavatam we establish a relationship with the Lord and how we can develop love for Godhead. So we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.